Amen. I've got a little message for you here, and I'm going to let Brother McDonald come up and take the prayer request, if you would. I'd appreciate that when I get done with the message. I'm pretty weak, and you can probably tell that by looking at me. I think I'll just bring you up to speed at the beginning so you'll know when I get into the message tonight. I don't know how I'm going to do, but this doctor put me on a new medication. It's called Tecasin. That was 20 days ago, the 22nd of November. And first few days, it wasn't too bad, but then it started working on my rhythm. My heart, it's out of rhythm. It's been out of rhythm now. It stays out of rhythm. But this Tecasin keeps it down under 100, which is good. The rate is between 60 and 100 if you can keep you in that range. But the problem is that it's a scattered thing. I'm out of rhythm. And I called the doctor, tried to get in to see her, and she had me set up for January the 17th, as quick as she could see me, they said. But then they called today and said that I can get in there Friday morning at 10 o'clock. And I'm going as soon as I can. I almost went to the emergency room. I know what they'll do there, though. They put you on a cortisone drip. And I don't know that that's necessarily. But anyway, what I want you all to understand tonight, this has been a 12-year thing with me. It started 12 years ago. And it's atrial fibrillation. And I've been on a number of medications. But this coming Friday, I'll go see the doctor. And I don't know. When she sees this, she sees what my heart's been doing. I know she's not going to be happy with it because I'm certainly not happy with it. And she may put me in the hospital and put me on another drug. You know, sometimes it's a 3-day process to do that. I don't know. And this is why I don't know what to tell you about whether I'll be here Sunday or not. If I'm not in the hospital, I'll be here. You can count on that. Mark it down. Put it in your book. But if I'm in the hospital, I have no choice no matter. But we got to do something. So I don't know what she's going to do, but we'll see. And I just ask for your prayers tonight. That's the main thing with me. Just pray. I mean, I've talked to the Lord, and I've talked to the Lord. And if God sees fit to call me home, I'm ready to go home. I mean, that's not an issue with me whatsoever. Fact is, I've done a lot of thinking about it. And, you know, make sure that even though you've preached for 150 years, you want to make sure you're sure that you're right, that you know you're right, that you're right. That's right. Amen. That's right. And as far as I know, there's nothing between me and the Lord. We've got Brother Dewey Williams with us in here tonight. This is a dear pastor, brother, from up around where Johnson City, Bristol, Virginia. He's on that Virginia TV station, and I've watched a lot, watched you preaching. Pastors, what's that church you pastor?
Bell Meadows.
He's the pastor of Bell Meadows Baptist Church, and he's here with us tonight, and I'm honored to have. I love this brother. He's a man of God. He's having proton therapy for prostate cancer, so I know he desires your prayers tonight. Please remember this dear brother in prayer, proton therapy. And he's been, obviously came here to get that treatment done, so remember him in prayer tonight. But I want to get into the lesson, then we can take prayer requests here in a minute. This is what I think the Lord has given me to give to you all tonight. And then I'll sit down and we'll let Brother McDonald take care of the prayer request. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse number 30. This is why I love him. This is why I love him. Amen. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Father, bless your word now. Bless it as it goes forth. Amen. Now we know who said that. His name was Simeon. He's an old man. And he spent his time there looking for the consolation of Israel. Simeon was not looking for a political deliverer. He was looking for a spiritual deliverer. And this is why he said, I have seen thy salvation. And he said it would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus saved me, folks, in 1973, and he's been my Savior by my side ever since then. I speak his name. He's part of my life. He's part of who I am and what I'm about. I can't imagine living without the Lord Jesus Christ. I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine what kind of a life that would be. And I love him. because he is my Savior. He has saved me in so many different ways since he saved my soul in 1973 and I was born again. He has saved me from problems, and he has no doubt saved me from things that I wasn't even aware of, but he moved them out of the way before they ever got to me. He's my Savior. He's my Savior in every sense of the word. And if you noticed old Simeon here, he said, "Now your servant can depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation." And he knew what that was. This is profound talking. He didn't say, "I have seen your road to salvation." He didn't say, I've seen your catechism. He didn't say, "I've seen, all these things that people, good works and all that they put together to create salvation." He said, "This is a person I hold in my hands. This is your salvation. This person, Christ Jesus." You may be the finest person in your religion, folks, but if you don't have Christ, you're not saved. You don't have salvation. The second thing, the reason I love him, is in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5. The scripture says this, Hebrews 13, 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, conversation here has to do with your manner of life, the way you live, the way you interact with people, what they know you to be. And said it be without covetousness, which is one of the worst sins in the Bible. But notice he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's one of the big reasons that I love him tonight. Because men will forsake you. They'll turn their back on you. They will. They'll leave you. But he won't. He has stuck by my side through stuff I never imagined I'd be in to begin with. And then once I found myself in some mess somewhere or some dogfight or something, he never left me. He stayed with me. I'm glad for that. Yes, I am. One of the things that they drilled into us in boot camp, in the military, and in infantry training was, you do not leave your brother out there alone in that field. If he's wounded, you carry him back. You pick him up, the wounded warrior, you pick him up. And one of the things that we did in boot camp was to grab a 250-pound man, throw him across your shoulders, and take off running with him. Now imagine me trying to do that tonight. Amen. And here's the third reason that I love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 30. I was 18 years old then. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 30. I turned 18 in Paris Island. I went in at 17. My grandfather had to sign for me to get in. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." One of the reasons I love him is because he's my counselor. Oh yeah, oh yeah, he's my counselor. I listen to him. I take his counsel. One of the things that I have learned down through the years is that it's a matter of spiritual growth, and you really have to apply yourself to be able to know the voice of God, because sometimes it can be your brain playing games with you. Sometimes it can be the devil. So you have to try the spirits. And sometimes it's the voice of God, because I've had him say things to me in my closet with the door shut and the light out. He told me what he was going to do, and he did it. And, nobody knew a thing. Sometimes my poor wife probably thinks I'm crazy. Bless her heart. But she stuck with me. And I'm glad for that, aren't you? We just celebrated our 58th anniversary. Yeah, Monday, the 9th of December. We got married in 1966. And most of them said back then, it won't last 6 months. Well, that was 58 years ago. She's been a good wife. You better believe it. He's been my counselor. And all kinds of voices want to teach. They want to preach. They want to counsel. They want to give you instruction. And sometimes it's good stuff. And you learn as you mature, who to listen to and who not to listen to. The Bible says a fool is known by a multitude of words. I don't have an opinion on everything, because there's an awful lot of things I don't know anything about. How many understand what I'm saying tonight? I mean, if you've got an opinion on everything, you knew everything there is about everything, you're in bad shape tonight. you're hurting. Because there's an awful lot of stuff out there I don't know a thing about. So the best thing to do is just be quiet. Let somebody speak who knows what they're talking about. And that's another thing, too, that that God taught me. And that is pray and listen and, you know, observe. And when you find somebody who knows what they're talking about, they really do, listen to them. Listen to them. So, well, how do you know if they know what they're talking about? That's where God has to give you a sense of discernment. You need that discernment. And you know what? You don't want a talking head. You don't want a parrot. You don't want somebody that you've heard them and they're saying the same thing. They put a different spin on it. When somebody starts talking to you about how they've walked with God and what the Lord's done for them in their life, and you can see the fruit of it in their life. And fruit's a big deal. Listen to them. Because they may say something that can help you. God's no respecter of persons. And here's the fourth reason that I love him. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 9. Hebrews 12:9. Here's what it says. Now I'm going to start reading verse number 3, Hebrews 12:3, to put it in context. Hebrews 12:3, the apostle says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Now, notice the contradiction here. He came into this world to seek and save that which was lost. He gave himself a ransom for many. If a sinner ever had a friend, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. He came for a sinner. He's the greatest thing that ever happened for a sinner. But notice, consider who endured such contradiction of sinners. You see, that's the kind of thing that would either turn you aside or stop you or make you want to quit. He said against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now he's preparing you. What this means is he's preparing you for the Christian life. All right, this is the Christian life. Now folks, in August, I've been here 48 years. Lord only knows how many people I've preached to in 48 years. You have any idea how many graveyards I've been to in 48 years? Good night. How many? I've told you a few times how many rooms I've walked into with dead bodies. Or how many times I've been sitting in that room when some soul leaves their body. I've been there. Many times. Not just once or twice. None of this came out of a school. It came from direct personal experience. It can do things to you. It can make you callous. It can make you indifferent. It can make you bitter. You know, you can say, well, where's God if he allows all this to happen? Stuff like that. Lest you weary in your mind. The scripture says the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Why does the Bible use the word accomplished? See, there's something going on here. But let's stick with the text. Look what he said. He said, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you on this wise. Children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Satan would tell you that when you do something wrong, God chastens you. No. Do something right and he'll chasten you. He scourges every son that he receives. Chastening is not punitive. It's not where God is paying you back or something of the nature where he's paying you what he owes you because you violated his righteousness or holiness. No. You're his son. The chastening is to instruct you. It's instructive, and he wants you to learn something in it. He wants you to learn something. Now, I've been going through a lot of stuff. This brother comes in here tonight now, and he tells me he's got prostate cancer. This is a brother. This is a veteran pastor, just like me. He's been at this a long time. I thought to myself, he's got cancer, and all I got's AFib. But I think about this. What is in this that God may want to instruct me with? What am I going to learn in this? Is it that I'm in this now to prepare me for a ministry that beforehand I would not have been prepared for? I mean, when someone, and they comment online, you get on these YouTube channels, folks, you'd be amazed at how they comment. And I can talk to somebody about AFib because I've got it. I've had it. I can talk to them. I can tell them how your heart feels when it's jumping up and down inside your chest. I can tell them how that, you know, it just jumping all over the place. I can tell them how it feels like to have heart failure. I can tell them what it feels like to be so weak that you can't even stand up. I can tell them. It hasn't been 12 years of pain, but it's been 12 years. It's what you call a what is it they call a battle? That's it. Attrition. That's the word. Attrition. It's not like two huge armies meet each other and decide the issue on the battlefield. No, they keep sniping and sniping and sniping and sniping. Well, that's what it is. That's the way it's been. See? So, and there's no doubt a lot of people are watching me, don't you think? Well, of course. If I get up here and preach to you about this, that, a bunch of illustrations, get this from sermon illustrations, this and that, but you've never had anything yourself, never been through anything yourself. So I say to the Lord God, here I am, Lord, you know, and I know you're not playing with me. And he's not. And I don't know what's going to happen this Friday. I may be in the hospital this weekend. I don't know. I don't know what he's got in store for me. Well, there's one thing tonight I know for certain. He's my God. And we're not going to bow. And we're not going to bow. And Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were cast into that burning fiery furnace. And when Daniel was thrown in that den of lions, the king went by the next day. You remember what he said? Oh, Daniel, is thy God able to deliver thee? Think about it. The king, is he able to deliver thee? Live, O king, Daniel said. Oh, yeah. That pleased the king because he's God. Now, he's my God regardless. And that's one of the things I want you to know tonight. My life's in his hands where it's going to stay. I get great comfort from that because God will do right. He's my Lord. He'll do right. And I love him because of that. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? Yes. Get some issues settled. Stay prayed up. Don't carry a load of garbage around with you and think that you can just run down somewhere and mumble a prayer or two and everything's going to be fine between you and the Lord. God deals with these issues, the root cause of it. That's what 1 John 1's about. And going to the root cause. And if you've got a weakness of the flesh, you've got a besetting sin, you've got something about you, he'll deal with it and he'll show you how to get victory over it. That's what living for the Lord is all about. So all I ask of you tonight is this. Just pray for me. That's all. God knows. Pray for me. And when I walked in here tonight, my heart rate was, it's been jumping all over the place, 125, 130. I know you can't stay there long because what happened to me when all this started back in 2016, it got up to about 140 and 150 and it stayed there 24/7 for 2 weeks. And that was crazy on my part, but it was all brand new. And by the time I got to the emergency room, my oxygen level was 89. And immediately they stuck me in the hospital, you know. And so I watched the heart rate, and it sometimes will drop below 100. I have no idea what it is now. But just pray for me. Pray for me. Because there is power in prayer. I fully believe that. And this one other thing, and then I'll let Brother McDonald have it tonight. If you'll notice, my daughter's streaming here on the front row. The reason she is because we've been shut off by Vimeo. I don't know why they did that. We've paid them. We pay a year at a time, but we've had an issue anyway. We have to change over by the end of this month to Vimeo. Vimeo bought Livestream, who we've had for a long time, worked fine. But when this other company buys them out, then they want to do everything their way. And this is what's happening right now: a transition. There's only a couple of weeks left. And for all the time that I've been in this church, folks, I've been the IT man, I've been the cameraman, I've been the audio, I've wired everything you see, all the internet, all of the web pages, I've done all of it. But I've gotten to the point where I can't do it anymore. And I can't have that burden hanging over my head. Can't handle it. I got enough to worry with. So would you all start praying tonight that God will raise up somebody that can step in here and get the church online, get it streaming, get this done? I would greatly appreciate it. Amen. Brother McDonald, would you take our request tonight?